I meant for that to happen.
I grew up in the 1960s, maybe a few of you did as well. And that was the era that was all about peace and love, remember? And the peace signs were everywhere, and we were always flashing each other the peace sign. Remember? And the peace that we most wanted at that time was an end to the war in Vietnam. That was really the focus of our attention, and so the emphasis was on a peace in the outside world. Well, as I grew older, like many people in my generation, I began to shift my focus onto inner peace. I learned transcendental meditation and launched my spiritual search, wanting to go more deeply within. And I still wanted world peace, but I was becoming increasingly aware that peace on the outside comes from peace on the inside, that it emanates from within to the outer. Well, that's certainly what we teach in Unity, and it's implied in what we sing every single Sunday. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Right. So peace is really a matter of consciousness. It begins in consciousness. And I believe it was this consciousness of peace that Jesus was wanting to give us when he said, as Zoe so eloquently recited in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Wanting to give us that consciousness of peace. Peace was his chosen parting gift. So this consciousness of peace was what he most wanted for us. But his language was very intriguing, wasn't it? Because he said, "My peace I give to you, my peace." Now, what exactly does that mean? Now, some people read that as meaning his peace was the same as he himself. So that the way to find peace is by, for example, accepting Jesus as our personal savior. It's really a way of kind of encompassing him as a person. And that has worked for many, many people, that idea of Jesus as personal savior. And I respect that and I honor that, and many of you may have experienced that. That particular paradigm has not really worked for me. I'm on a little bit different track. And I'm reminded of the story of the man who had a little bit too much to drink. And one Sunday afternoon, beautiful Sunday afternoon, he was out walking. And he stumbled upon a baptismal service down by the river. Well, he was feeling very uninhibited. So he just walked right into the water and stood right there beside the preacher. And the minister said, "Hello, friend. Are you ready to find Jesus?" And the man pulled himself up and he said, "Yes, preacher, I am." And so the minister dunked him under the water very quickly and then pulled him back up. And he said, "Have you found Jesus?" And the man said, "No, I haven't." So the minister dunked him down again, held him a little bit longer this time, and pulled him back up again and said, "Brother, tell me, have you found Jesus?" And the man said, "No, preacher, I haven't." And so finally, the minister held him down and kept him under for a good 30 seconds. Finally, he lets him back up, and he says, "For heaven's sake, man, have you found Jesus yet?" And the man was gasping for air and wiping the water from his eyes. And finally, he sputters out to the preacher, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" You see, I think it's really less about us finding Jesus the person per se, and more about us finding his consciousness. Discovering what we call Christ consciousness, a certain high level, the highest level, actually, of consciousness. So when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," I believe he was referring to that consciousness, and he was saying, "I give to you my understanding. I give to you my consciousness of oneness. Through my life and teachings, I give you the gift of living in peace by loving one another, by being whole, by being fully human, and by knowing God. Follow me, he was saying. Take this way of seeing and being and make it yours. Make it yours. You see, he knew that we had the seeds of that same consciousness in us that was in him. He knew that we had all that potential and that capacity to rise in consciousness just as he had. And the great Edgar Cayce, a psychic healer, whose headquarters are down here at the beach, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, the wonderful Kevin Tedeschi, who's sitting, as a matter of fact, right there, compiled a book of Cayce's readings. And the book is called Jesus as a Pattern. And in that book, Cayce is quoted as saying, "We all have within us the pattern of perfection that was in Jesus, whether we call it by that name or not. We all have the capacity for Christ consciousness," which Cayce defines as the awareness within each soul, imprinted in the pattern of the mind, and waiting to be awakened by the will of the soul's oneness with God. You see, we have this awareness of our oneness with God, but it has yet to be awakened. We're working on that. It is coming into full understanding. When we're in that consciousness of oneness, we feel peace. Isn't it true? When we don't feel separation. And so Jesus was leading us into this experience, conscious oneness, so that we might feel the peace that passes all understanding. And I believe there are two key messages that he communicated to us to help us have that experience of conscious oneness and peace. And the first one was, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. If you are in fear, it's impossible to be at peace. You cannot be calm and serene on the inside if you're all tied up in knots, worried and anxious and fretful and stressed. The two are mutually exclusive. So discover this peace and stop getting yourself so worked up. Jesus was very insistent and basically saying, cut it out. Really, worry not. Fear not. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He was really saying, let go and let God. God's got this. God is in you and everywhere present. There's a higher order unfolding. And you can trust that. You can let go of your fear and trust that. Well, this all makes very good intellectual sense to us, but letting go of fear can be one of the most challenging things, probably the most challenging thing on our spiritual path. Right? Because we, in order to do that, we have to change old habits. We have to change the way we think. We have to do what the wonderful transcendentalist spiritual leader Ralph Waldo Emerson said. Stand guard at the portal of your mind. Stand guard at the portal of your mind. Wow, what a powerful concept. That you are going to be the observer and notice what thoughts you are letting in and be conscious about what thoughts you are keeping out. Stand guard at the portal of your mind and notice when you are feeding fear-based false thinking. Notice when you're making up stories that freak you out. When you're scaring yourself. Notice it and stop it. Just say, no. No. I deny that thought. That thought has no power over me. Stand guard at the portal of your mind and notice when you are entertaining any thought that is causing you to constrict or feel helpless or hopeless or like a victim, because it's not true. And become aware of when you are starting to think in terms of we, they, when you're separating our oneness into dualistic thinking. And now someone's right and someone's wrong. Continue to hold that consciousness of oneness. And realize, as you become more aware of your thinking, that at any time, in any situation, you can say to yourself, I can choose peace instead of this. Because you can. I can choose peace instead of this. When you find yourself on some hamster wheel going over and over the same thought, hey, I can choose peace instead of this. That is an incredible power. I'd like you to think for a moment about something that might be troubling you these days. And then repeat with me, I can choose peace instead of this. Together, I can choose peace instead of this. One more time, like you really mean it. I can choose peace instead of this. Yes, you are in charge. You are in control of what's going on up here. This was an empowerment that Jesus was giving us and that he was demonstrating in his own life. So the second overarching message that we find in his teachings was, you are not alone. Not now, not ever. You may feel alone, but you are not alone. God is intrinsic to your very being, nearer than hands and feet. God is breathing you into this world. God is there as the higher power in you, whatever name you choose to call it, that will see you through any difficulty. You are loved, you are safe, and you'll be all right. That was true for Jesus, and it's true for us. Well, he also wanted us to know that his spirit and love are with us forever. And he said it in such a beautiful way, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. That consciousness, that presence of Jesus is right here in our hearts and is with us always. And he said this in Matthew 11:28-30. Essentially saying, you can lean on me. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when we hear those words, they're a beautiful opportunity to connect with Jesus, however we conceive him to be, wayshower, elder brother, Messiah, Savior, whatever it might be. But I also like to read these words and imagine as if it were Christ consciousness in me speaking those words to me. Come to me. Come to this higher awareness. You who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And I will give you rest. In this broader expanse of higher consciousness, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Be willing to do the work to find this, to discover this within yourself. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you ever had it happen? That you're stewing about something, you're in a time of difficulty, and then you have a shift. Perhaps it's a mystical moment. Perhaps it's a moment of gratitude. And all that intensity and constriction releases. And suddenly you feel lighter. And you notice that all is connected. You notice that shining light in all that is. This is what it's like to be in this higher consciousness, always available to us. And so we see that Jesus was giving us such a precious gift when he said, my peace I give to you. He's giving us oneness consciousness in the knowing that there is nothing to fear and we are not alone. I'll tell you, in any time of difficulty, no matter what it is in your life, if you think about this, that there's nothing to fear and I am not alone, see if you don't feel your heart lifted. But of course, it doesn't stop there, although we might think it does, because peace is not meant to be passive. You know, Jesus wasn't training his disciples to go sit on a mountaintop and meditate. He wasn't saying, just get yourself at peace and hang out in meditative bliss, and all will be great. You know, he may have been the Prince of Peace, but he was also a man of courageous action. And so the early church gospels portray him as a peaceful spiritual teacher, and of course we know him to be that as well. But we also know from historians and scholars that he was a politically conscious revolutionary. Yes, Jesus was not a wimp. Jesus was a man of action, creating change in the world. There's a great book called Zealot. It's written by the best-selling author Reza Aslan. And he delves into this a little bit more. Someday I'm going to do a class on this because it's really quite intriguing. And here's what he says. The Gospels portray Jesus as a man of unconditional peace, almost wholly insulated from the political upheavals of his time. But Jesus defied the imperial authorities and their allies in the Jewish religious hierarchy. He exemplified zealotry, a fervent nationalism that made resistance to the Roman occupation a sacred duty incumbent on all Jews. Wow. You know, we don't know where on that continuum Jesus actually fell between peaceful spiritual teacher and radical social revolutionary. We each get to decide what concept fits most with what's in our hearts. Certainly, we know that when he did take action, it was nonviolent resistance, that he was committed to actions of peace as he took a stand. For me, I put him somewhere in the middle in that continuum, and I think of him as being this epitome of Christ consciousness and higher consciousness that is so grounded in an awareness of oneness and peace that it informs everything that he does on the inner and on the outer. So there's a great awareness of what is happening around and when it is time to step forward and take responsible action. It's not about hiding away, being holy. It's about making a difference. And as I think of this about Jesus and take in considerations of both, I guess, aspects or different manifestations of his consciousness, I personally find it very instructive and very inspiring. I find it that way looking back and also looking forward. Because I look back on the 1960s and I realize, okay, I was on the right track by learning meditation, by going deeper within, cultivate my Christ consciousness. But I was also on the right track in engaging in debates about the war in Vietnam, about walking peacefully with veterans in a march, about writing an editorial in the student newspaper for peace. You see, there's an action element. We don't enter into that hastily, but if we are grounded in Christ consciousness, we know when it is time to take reasoned and responsible action. And we do that as an expression of the consciousness and the peace that is within us. And I also take these lessons to heart as we look forward. This is a very tumultuous time right now in our country. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear. And so it is this opportunity to stand guard at the portal of our minds and not let fear overtake us or the uncertainty. But at the same time, we must keep an awareness of what is going on. Keep a certain readiness that when it is time, and if it is time, if it comes to pass, that we are to speak up and stand in our truth, and we are ready. That's what Jesus did. That's what others like Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Rosa Parks, Susan B. Anthony, Nelson Mandela, Dalai Lama. This is the way they operated in the world, and I think of it as the epitome of integrity, to be in complete alignment with what your beliefs and convictions are and to step forward in those to make a difference in the world. So this is a gift, a huge gift that Jesus gave us in his teachings about peace, teachings about internal and external. What is ours to do? And we can see that we have that consciousness within us. We can know that there is nothing to fear, that we are not alone, and that we are here to stand in our truth and to make a difference in the world. Jesus said, "I have said these things for you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And so he said, can we? Let's prepare now for our time of meditation. Let's take a deep breath in, release, and let go. Get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes if you wish. And just breathe. Allowing the peace of God to wash over you. Beautiful, loving presence from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. This warm, beautiful light touching every cell of your being and inviting you to let go. That truly the peace that we seek is only a breath, only a thought away. And so we take a moment in this time of communing with Spirit to take in at a deep level in our hearts and in our minds the truth that there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. I invite you to hold that in your own heart. Know that you are safe, provided for, that all is unfolding as it should. There is something in you that will see you through any challenge, and all is well. There is nothing to fear. Breathe into that truth and that knowing and allow yourself to trust it. Take into your heart the deep knowing that you are not alone. No matter how challenging situation in your life, how confused you may feel, you are not alone. You are one with the One. You are one with all of life. And there is a divine pattern in you, unfolding with the help of Spirit all around and through you. I invite you to know that there is nothing to fear and you are not alone. And to take that into your own heart as you open to your own guidance in the silence. Today we commit to standing guard at the portal of our minds, being aware of our thoughts and their consequences, choosing to not believe everything we think, to let go of what does not serve us, continue to affirm the presence of God the good in us and in all of life. As we see it, we bring it into greater manifestation. And for this, we are so deeply grateful. Grateful to God, grateful to our way shower. How blessed we are. And so it is. So we let it be. Amen.